My kingdom still reigns on this earth. I am the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the God of glory, the creator of the heavens and the earth. You are my bride. You are the apple of my eye. I have set you apart to carry my name. You have been cleansed in my blood. I tell you, it is not a point of defeat, but it is a point of victory. I have you in the midst of the world to be a light in the darkness, to be a city set upon a hill that cannot be hid, to glorify me in your body and in your spirit, which are mine. The enemy is defenseless before me. I know the path. I've walked the path. And I'm directing your steps to walk with me, to bring you together with me through the difficulties, through the hardships, through the difficult times. I want you to know this morning that I have not left you. I have not forsaken you. I have not forgotten you. I see what's happening in the world. My eyes are not blind. My ears are not deaf. In the midst of all of this, as it was in the days in the Old Testament, when I raised up my people right in the midst of a time when they were going to destroy the Jews, in the very place where the king of that wicked country was, I raised up a woman who stood in the gap and saved your people. I tell you, my people, you won't be destroyed. No fire will kindle. No river will overflow you. For I am in your midst to deliver you and to bring you unto myself. I give you a word of caution. I have left to you my word. And my word will lead you in the path of righteousness for my name's sake. Don't detour from my word. It will lead you to me. It will lead you into my presence. Hold fast to my word. Hold fast to the counsel that I give you. For I will bring you to myself through the midst of the fire, through the midst of the flame.
God, thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. God is so good, isn't he? And praise the Lord, everyone. Thank you, God. You may, I was going to say you may be seated, but actually I want you to stand, if you would. I'm sorry. Thank you, Lord. 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter. I have a part one and a part two. I think this morning is just going to be an introduction. I'll finish it up tonight. We do have service tonight. Wisconsin State Journal called, talked with my wife, interviewed her, and asked if we were having a Sunday night service. I knew that was on our schedule because of Super Bowl. So she did tell them that by all means we're having a service. And she tried to explain that this Super Bowl is just a game, but what we're doing is for real. So if you break your back or end up in the hospital or whatever, and you have access to watch the Super Bowl, I'm not going to condemn you. But if you got two strong legs and feet and a heart full of passion for the work of the Lord, then be in church. Okay. It's amazing to me. I played football in high school, and I know how addicting this can be. I have just a very I have a great feeling about football. You know, I wanted to go to college with a scholarship to play football, and I ended up breaking my leg and breaking my ankle in high school and wasn't able to walk for a good year. You'd think that you wouldn't care about it, but I do. But you got to remember, it's just a game. And as much as it is promoted, and now I was reading $3.4 million for a 15-second ad, the Super Bowl. But if one of the players, if something happens to the family, the coaches, along with the players, say, well, what I do for a living is just a game. Real life is family and it's God. But one of the signs of the last days, men should be lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Now, I want to challenge you in this introduction to my message concerning your love for God and your love for each other. So 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, verse 31, Paul says, but covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet show I unto you a more excellent way. And God bless you, may be seated. I don't know of a service that we could have that is up to this introduction that would be more fitting for this introduction. Because Paul is talking about spiritual gifts. 1 Corinthians 12, he outlines 9 spiritual gifts: tongues, interpretation, and prophecy. This morning, you heard 2 individuals give a message in an unknown tongue, and then you heard the interpretation of it. Also, there is the gift of prophecy, where a person will stand and prophesy. It's the same as tongues and interpretation, but without the tongues. It's just a prophecy of what God wants to see. And then he goes on to talk about wisdom. He talks about knowledge. He talks about discerning of spirits. One of the protections that we find in the body of Christ is the ability to discern spirits. That is the ability to keep the body of Christ safe from someone that has an evil spirit. But it's not only discerning bad spirits, it's discerning good spirits. It's the ability to point out and identify, recognize people that indeed have the Spirit of Christ. And then he goes into healings. He goes into faith, and then he goes into miracles. Our brother Larry Smith, that we, I think, have on one of our messages, Brother Thomas's message on our website, had an incurable lung cancer. Stand up, Brother Smith. And we prayed for him, and God miraculously, healed him. Put it all away. And then we have Sister Peggy Moran that was diagnosed with cancer. And God just miraculously took it away. Stand up, Sister Peggy. Now, the reason why we had Brother Harris, I think Brother Harris is in one of our classes, but the reason why we had Brother Harris to stand up, because he has incurable cancer. And we're praying for him. And some of these people that have been genuinely healed, miraculously healed. See, there's a gift of healing, then there's a gift of miracles. Now, when the gift of healing is exercised, that means the normal process of healing starts in the body. In other words, the person was not being healed simply because that there was some obstruction or something in the body where it wouldn't heal. But God removes that, and then they recover. They shall lay hands upon the sick, and they shall recover. That is equivalent to a miracle. I mean, we'd have to say a miracle, just like tongues and interpretation is, or prophecy is equivalent to tongues and interpretation. This is equivalent to a miracle, but the operation in which it takes place is different. Now, when someone is prayed for and just, it's gone, totally gone, that is a miracle. And we have been so privileged in this service to have tongues interpretation, two people giving out messages in unknown tongues, and then an interpretation. But now what the Apostle Paul is saying at the very end of 1 Corinthians 12, in which he explains this, he talks about the nine spiritual gifts. In Romans 12, he also talks about spiritual gifts. I assume that there are more than the nine. In fact, I know there are more than nine. But he speaks of the nine in 1 Corinthians 12. And yet, as phenomenal as all of this is, that is, someone being miraculously healed, someone that was diagnosed as having cancer, and they were prayed for, and then the doctor couldn't find cancer. Something as phenomenal as God speaking to an individual and them giving out a message in another language, and somebody else a message in another language, and one person interpreting that. Paul says, as phenomenal as this is, he said, I'm going to show you a better way. Now, he wasn't saying this wasn't important. That's not what he was saying. He said, this is very, very, very important. But there is something about human nature that when he or she is being used of God in a phenomenal way, that they begin to interpret this phenomenon as an endorsement of all of their activities. And Paul says, not so. I want to show you a more excellent way. And the more excellent way is found in 1 Corinthians 13. So what I'd like to do is just read a little bit of this. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I have become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries, and all knowledge, and though I have all faith, so that I could remove mountains and have not charity or love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Charity or love suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up. Now, the word charity is an Old English word that actually means love. And because the King James is in the Old English language, charity is used. But this is talking about agape love, the greatest love shown to man, and that is the love of God. Verse 5, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth. But whether they be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether they be tongues, they shall cease. Whether they be knowledge, it shall vanish away. Now, basically, what he's saying is, you see, love is one part of the character of God. The character of God is explained in Galatians 5 when we talk about the fruit of the Spirit. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Now, when the Bible says against such there is no law, it's basically saying that there is no limit set on how much you can love. You can just love all you want to. But now you look at spiritual gifts, especially the verbal gifts. 1 Corinthians 14 was written, and regulations were placed on those spiritual gifts. So they were regulated. But Paul is saying there's no regulations placed on the fruit of the Spirit, because the fruit of the Spirit is the character of God. And basically what he's saying is that the character of God should be present in any person's life who is seeking spiritual gifts. First things come first. I don't know why it is, but when people start being used of God, sometimes they do get puffed up. Sometimes they get real sharp with people. Sometimes they're not approachable. Sometimes they can be outright rude. Because they think that they're in this high and lofty place, the untouchable place, where God is. Unfortunately, when man elevates himself there to be equal with God, he starts manifesting the character of Lucifer or Satan, who also exalted himself up equal with God. The emphasis is on me. Look what I did. I'm the one that prayed him through. I'm the person that lay hands on him. I'm the person that, and on and on and on. After a while, then, the character of God is in the background, and you're in the forefront. Now, what Paul is saying when he says, I want to show you a better way, and that is my subject title today, this AM service, and also tonight. This is basically what he's saying. That you can seek God, and you can be used of God in spiritual gifts, and that's great. But in order to keep yourself under subjection all the time, and this is what it takes in order for you to manifest the character of God. You know, there's some things that you settle in your mind once and for all. Like the message of salvation, I settled this in my mind years ago. I have no doubt. You can ask me any question you want to about the Holy Spirit and the new birth. And let me tell you something. I've gone over that in my mind thousands of times. I've carefully combed the pages of the New Testament and Old Testament. I've determined that the new birth, the first thing concerning the new birth, if you want the new birth, you need to repent. Secondly, then, after repentance, you need to be baptized in water by immersion in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. Thirdly, you have to be filled with the Holy Ghost. I settle that once and for all. Truthfully, I don't continue to pray about that. It's no big deal with me. I settled it. But I tell you what I have to pray about all the time. I have to pray about projecting a Christian attitude and a Christian spirit. I have to pray about that all the time. I settled in my mind the issue that I need it, but I have to keep going back and going back and going back and going back. Basically what Paul is saying, now you can have both. You can have spiritual gifts and you can have the love of God. But basically what he's saying, you'd be better off to have the love of God among you so that everybody that comes into your assembly feels loved. And they're appreciated. And they're edified. You'd be better off to have that than to have people healed of cancer and all kinds of sicknesses and diseases where people don't care for each other, where they don't love each other, where their aim in life is to show people how spiritual they are. Now, trust me, you can have both, because we've got a whole lot of both here at Calvary Gospel Church. But Jesus said, the true test to the world that you're my disciples is found in your ability to love each other. Isn't that great? Because see, you can have faith for the moment. You can have the gift of miracles for the moment. And you can pray the prayer of faith and something happen. And maybe you may pray for months for people and you don't see that miracle that you're looking for. But separate and apart from that is the love of God that must be present in your life 24/7. And that's what Paul is saying when he says, now, don't get so carried away with all of this that you forget. About the love of God. Now, in this introduction, and I'm going to be finished here in just a second. And, you know, the problem with our world today is that we have too many professional Christians. You know what I'm talking about when I say professional Christians. Even ministers that minister only for money. The Bible says concerning a minister, he should not be a hireling. In other words, he does it solely for money. And one thing that a minister should never be guilty of, and that's filthy lucre. We have a church board. I appreciate our church board. Our church board is so valuable. This is a board that I have carefully selected and you have approved, and we'll be talking about that Tuesday night. And one of the great purposes of the church board is because the church is not set up as a democracy. You know, our general organization is set up more so as a democracy. Every 2 years, we vote on our general superintendent. Then we vote on in our districts every 2 years the superintendents. If the brethren don't particularly like what's going on, they can just vote for somebody else. And nothing wrong with that system. The general board, along with the district board, this is a true board. They're a true board of directors. But church boards are not set up to be a board of directors for the church. Now, let me explain why. In the local assembly, the congregation, with a democratic process, they select a pastor. And this pastor is not voted on every 2 years. That's not the way it works. He stays there until he feels and the congregation feels that he should move on. Now, I'm not going to say there's not ways to get him removed, because if he falls into sin and such, there are ways to get him removed. But as a pastor of this church, because I cannot be a lord over God's heritage, and I can't be a hireling, I can't be guilty of filthy lucre. It's only right that I take great spiritual men that are involved in ministries and make myself accountable to them. He that is chief among you becomes servant of all. Now, truthfully, if I wanted to embezzle money from Calvary Gospel Church, I would not even know where to start because I never touch any money. I don't count any offerings, don't touch any money. Somewhere in this building, there is a safe. It's in the floor. I do not have the combination to it. When offerings are counted, they're put in there. The only way I could take money from Calvary Gospel Church is slip in here in the middle of the night with a bomb and blow a floor out and get the money. I like it that way. I feel that's the way it should be. Because here's the thing. Without accountability, human flesh is, oh. And how many, and Brother Russell, a former superintendent for many years in Rocky Mountain, can say this. How many men have you known through the years that their character would not sustain their success? They became very successful only to leave a more excellent way behind. And after a while, they just kind of self-destructed. So we have professional Christians, but not just professional Christians in the ministry, but we also have professional Christians in the pews, and that is people that lose their love for each other and they lose their love for God. It's just the thing to do to go to church on Sunday because I was taught that all my life. I remember talking to a young evangelist one time, and this is certainly not pick on preacher Sunday, but I found out that he did not attend the local church that he came out of in the city in which he lived. So if he had a weekend or a week or two off from a revival, he just didn't go to church at all. So I found out about it, and I told him, I said, I want to talk with you. So when I talked with him, I said, now, the pastor of the local assembly tells me that you don't attend church there. Are you going some other place? No. Brother Grant, you have to understand, I'm in church all the time. I said, well, not all the time. He said, I didn't know that there was a rule against not going to church. I said, well, let me ask you this. When you're preaching revival, do you encourage everybody to come all the time, or you just tell them to stay home if they don't want to come? No, I want them to come. So there's one rule for everybody else, and that rule doesn't apply to yourself. He said, well, I just didn't know there was a rule. I said, the biggest problem I have with that, you're saying, I didn't know I was supposed to. My question to you is, why wouldn't you want to? See, what has happened to your want to? Have you become so successful that you feel you do not need the body of Christ and you don't need somebody ministering to you? You don't need to be in this atmosphere where people are loving each other? That you'd rather sleep in service after service, get up midday, and forget about church. You see, Jesus warned us in Matthew 7 about being hearers of the word and not doers. Professional hearers. You hear, but that's it. That's it. The greatest source of my frustration as a pastor through the years have been this, that I preach to people that say amen to almost everything I say. Some even go so far as say, make it plain, Pastor. And yet, after hearing all this, I'm still curious as to what I've got to do to get inside of your heart and your brain to convince you that all these things I'm preaching about, you need to get up and do them. Christ says, I'm going to show you a better way. You don't love only in word, but you love in deed. The Calvary Gospel Church has got a directory full of people that love God, and I'm amazed at when I talk with some of you that I haven't talked with in a while, the things that you're actually doing for each other and doing for the Lord. I was so impressed when Brother Roy said that Sister Darlene Burrell called him. So I've got this outreach. I've been talking about outreaches. I rented a community room, and I want you to come over. And Roy and Lois went over, and well, she had a house full of people. And she said, well, I've had up to 40, 42 or 43. Nobody's singing her praises. Nobody even knew about it. Well, some knew about it, naturally, because some people attend here. But Sister Darlene, may the favor of God continue to rest upon you. Raise your hand, darling. Week after week after week, she does this. Brother Roy said, what have you been teaching? Well, she just got a chart of scriptures, like the bread chart. And she just goes from one scripture to the other, teaching. Some from the Old Testament, some from the New. He's asking Brother Roy, I said, could you come over and teach and help us? Why are you doing this? You see, Darlene was a Muslim. And she practiced it very faithfully. And Jesus found her. He gave her a more excellent way, a better way. Because he loves everybody. I've got to love everybody. I don't have to stand up in church and tell everybody I love them. All I need to do is reach out to my neighbors. Give them a helping hand. Help them find their way to the Lord. Let's lift our hands and praise. Better than any miracle, better than any healing, better than any tongues, better than any interpretation, better than all the wisdom and all the knowledge is the ability to love. Well, my time is up. We're going to have to stand, okay? I'm not for sure I even put together a decent introduction for tonight, but I sure feel it in my heart. Oh, my. Turn to your neighbor next to you and say, I sure love you. I really love you. Our praise singer is going to sing. If you need a healing, and certainly I was not minimizing spiritual gifts, But if you need a healing, come and stand over here on this side, on your left. If you have a need and you want someone to help you pray about this need, come and stand right here in the front. If you need the Holy Spirit or you need a renewing, come over here and stand on your right, over here on this side. Come on, step out.